Podcast der Pädagogischen Hochschule Wien. Sie hören die Aufzeichnung eines Vortrages im Rahmen des 10. HOPE-Kongresses vom 10. bis 13. Mai 2016 in Wien. Dieser stand unter dem Thema Pädagogik im Spannungsfeld von Krankheit, Migration und Mehrsprachigkeit.
So, es geht weiter mit dem Thema Überwindung sprachlicher und kultureller Barrieren durch enge Zusammenarbeit in den psychosozialen Krankenhausteams. Es geht um Förderung des kreativen Sprachgebrauchs. Dazu darf ich die Referentinnen und den Referenten recht herzlich begrüßen. Frau Walfré, sie ist Latein- und Griechischlehrerin und unterrichtet auch Italienisch als Fremdsprache an der Spitalsschule im Krankenhaus Regina Margherita in Turin. Dann Frau Simona Sartori, die ebenfalls an dieser Schule unterrichtet, Geschichte und Geografie, und Herr Giorgio Botrito, der Mathematik und Physik unterrichtet.
Danke. Does it work? Yes. So, we are teachers of the hospital school Regina Margherita in Piemonte, which is a region in the northwest of Italy. In Torino we have a huge children's hospital dedicated to our Queen Margherita, which is the same of the pizza, I tell you immediately. So in the children's hospital we have four levels of schools, from the pre-primary to the secondary high school. And each level is annexed to a different main school in Italy. It sounds strange, but it is the system in Italy. That means for us that we have four different administrations, four different headmasters, and this sometimes causes a bit difficulties when we want to cooperate or to exchange data. So we represent here the secondary high school. We are 15 teachers covering most of the subjects required in an Italian high school, and our pupils are aged 14, 18. This is our speech outline after this quick presentation of the school. So we will give you some data on foreign students. Then we will focus on students who come to Italy just for healthcare in the oncology ward. We will talk a bit about the legislation, the cooperation. We will see how those students come to Italy for the healthcare. And then Simona will explain how she teaches to foreign students Italian L2, and she will illustrate the method of the self-storytelling she has been using during the last school years. We will read, with the help of our English colleagues, some stories and interviews, and we will show our activities, then we are ready to answer your questions. So, some data about foreigners in Italy. We used here the official source of the European Union, Eurostat. The latest data for Italy are of 2014. So, we see that foreigners are now 9.5%, maybe this year a bit more, of the total Italian population. The main communities come from Romania, Albania, Morocco, etc. Of course, there are also illegal residents, but being illegal is very difficult to estimate how many are they. About our foreign pupils in Italian system, the Ministry of Education, those data are the data of the last school year, 14-15. And we see that foreign students are 9.2% of the total Italian school population, and more than half of them are not citizens. Okay, vai avanti. The number of foreign young patients, of course, in our hospital reflects this demographical tendency. But in addition, we have those patients who don't speak Italian, who are not enrolled in the Italian health system, who are not residing in Italy, and come to Italy just for healthcare. So this is a picture taken random one day in March in the Onco Hematology Day Hospital. So if we read the name, we see that many names are not Italian. 8 out of 21 are foreign young patients. And this graphic shows how many are our students, not Italian-speaking students, in the last 5 years. Of course, the number, are not like the numbers you have in hospitals, like your hospital in London or in the hospital in Wien. So the ages from 2 to 17, we see that in 2014 we have, only in the oncology ward, 24 foreign students. From now on, I will intend with foreign those students who don't speak Italian. Now the same data divided by country of origin. We see that most of our students come from Venezuela, Kyrgyzstan, Ukraine, Albania, Romania. We also see that 2 years ago, the pupils coming from Venezuela were 17, then the number goes down until one, because of a lack of fundings of the charity which sends us the pupils from Venezuela, the Fondación. So we have pupils coming from EU countries and extra-EU countries. Of course, if they come from EU countries, they can move, they can cross borders, they can get therapies wherever they want. They can stay abroad for 3 months and then they have to apply for a stay permit for healthcare. But for pupils coming from extra-EU countries, then things are a bit more difficult because they have to get a visa to come to Italy to get the therapies. In Italy, we have legislation which protects and guarantees the healthcare of minors, the right of minors to get therapies. So I don't read everything, but the Italian health systems guarantees medical assistance to all foreign minors and enrolls them even without a stay permit. I just quote our Italian constitution and also important international legal sources such as the Convention of the Rights on the Rights of the Child, the European Resolution of 2011, and our unique immigration text. In addition, our region Piemonte has got a special program of health care, which allocates yearly much more than 1 million euros to the regional health agency for international cooperation with developing countries and to give health care to minors coming from developing countries. So every year there is a call for charities of Piemonte. They must be Piemontese charities or at least international charities which have a Piemontese branch. The charity can apply and can get fundings after declaring to take over the expenses for the travel and the stay of the minor with a parent. So the cooperation, international cooperation, starts from very far, starts from the beginning. The local medical staff certificates the state of illness of the child. Then an international charity organizes the travel, the stay in Torino. Our hospital declares to take in charge the minor, and then at the end our embassy can issue a visa. In Torino, when the child comes in Torino, the cooperation goes on. It's a cooperation among health professionals, so nurses, doctors, psychologists, the local charities which provide accommodation when the child is off therapy, and of course the cultural mediator, which have a very important role, and then teachers, educators, social workers. So what does the school overlooks? When we have a foreign patient, first of all, if it is possible, we try to enroll him or her in a local school, but this is possible only if they know a little bit of Italian, at least. Otherwise, we start with Italian L2 and English, maybe. Then we can add, in the time, also science, math, art. Sometimes we wonder, we ask ourselves, why should we learn Italian to pupils that will forget it? Italian is not so useful in the world. They will forget Italian once they go back home. Of course, at the moment, it's very important for them to communicate with the medical staff, with the volunteers, to enter a bit our way of life. But the most important thing is that we invest on their brain, on their intellective capacities. Studying a bit, studying Italian, help them to recover also psychically. So we work with their brain, with their mind. And of course, in our job, it's very important to cooperate with educators, cultural mediators, and the charities.
As Elisabetta told us, many foreign children with the disease are arriving in Italy in these years. So this led us, teachers, to seek to increase our skills in order to find new way to help and to communicate with them. Did we achieve this result? And how can we still improve? What are the students' expectations and difficulties? In order to answer to these questions, we collected the story of some of them. And we also interviewed a cultural mediator and a psycho-oncologist who all helps foreign families. What are their perceptions about the difficulties of foreign families? And how do they deal with them? In order to understand the difficulties and the expectations of foreign families, we adopted a method, the colloquial narrative. In this year, I attended a class with a teacher of the Free University of Anagni, near Rome, and I show you this method. The colloquial narrative is a relationship dialogue. It's not an interview. Between two people, the collector of stories and the narrator. The collector can intervene and can talk about himself. The pact. At first, we have to explain the purpose of the colloquial section and the duration and the right not to publish what's it been, so we can maintain a certain confidentiality. The colloquial narrative. At first, the collector has traced a few questions, but this trace is not rigid. The colloquial section has to be recorded so the collector can pay attention without taking down notes. The third step, the transcription of the colloquial narrative. And the fourth step, giving back the transcription and looking closely at what's been written. The narrator can add or subtract some details. The fifth step is transcription and transformation of the text in a narrative monograph. The last one, the narrator reads the monograph and authorizes the publication. The place. The place has to be quiet, serene, and there should not any interruption. In the hospital, it's very hard to find a quiet place, so it's better to go to another place. The time. It's very important not to drop the attention. So we can stop the colloquial section and restart again. Attitude. It's important listening with empathy, without judgment. The questions must be clear, brief, a question at a time, and avoid equivocal statements. The collector can repeat some statements to amplify or to add more details. He can reformulate some statements to understand if he has comprehended, if he can reflect his feelings, to show that there is an emotional feeling.
Well, Simona has collected a lot of stories during the last year. We have chosen only some, those who seem to us to be emblematic of the many cases we met in the last years. So the first one is the story of Manisha. Manisha is an Indian girl. She's now 18. We met her 4 years ago. She had come with her family to Italy 1 year before. So she had attended 1 year of the Italian school. Then her brother got sick. And what surprised us was the fact that the parents of Manisha considered quite normal that Manisha left the school to look after her younger brother, because she was the only one in the family to speak Italian. So she was the only interface between the family and the brother and the doctors. Okay, Manisha, your story.
Ciao, I'm an Indian girl. I came in Italy 5 years ago because my father worked here. We lived in a village about 2 hours from Torino. After 1 year we were here, my brother got sick and I had to leave the school because my mother couldn't speak Italian and I had to translate for them. In Torino, we have been hosted by the charity Casa Ughi in an apartment near this hospital. I couldn't attend school for 1 year and a half, but I could avoid losing the year thanks to the hospital school. I had started learning Italian at school, but I didn't speak it well. It hasn't been so difficult then to learn it because I'm keen on languages. I could speak English and let me be understood. In Italian, I find the articles particularly difficult. My teacher had explained that when a word ends with an A, A is feminine and it needs a feminine article. Then I always said la thema e la problema, but people made fun of me for this. With the help of the hospital school teachers, I learned Italian well. I found law particularly difficult because it needs a legal language. Now everything finished well and I came back home. I'm attending the 4th year of high school here in Italy. When I graduate, I want to apply to university law because I would like to become a criminal lawyer. I would very much like to visit Canada and also got a grant. I would have the opportunity to travel 3 weeks in every part of the world, but I had to renounce because I'm not allowed to travel alone.
So the language of those stories is a very basic Italian, sometimes with funny expression. We try to maintain the flavor of the original speeches. This is Adrian. He comes from Romania. He was reported to us by the cultural mediator Rodica. She's also from Romania. He's a very clever student. That's why we offered him to attend school in Italy. But he already knew a little bit of Italian. We will read just some passages of the next stories. No, the story of Adrian is quite long, but after Adrian, we will read only short passages. Thank you.
My name is Adrian. I'm almost 16 and I come from Romania. I arrived in Italy in 2004 when I was 4 and I attended 2 years of pre-primary school and 2 years of primary school here in Torino. Then my family returned to Romania. In February 2015, I got sick. I stayed in the hospital in Romania until April, and then I came back to Italy for the therapies. Here I was welcomed by doctors. I started physiotherapy, and I also started attending the hospital school, even if I'm enrolled in a high school first year in Romania. I'm very happy because teachers are nice. I like them, and they help me to understand what I don't know. I remember very well my first arrival in Italy. It was winter. We were travelling by bus. The bus stopped for a while and I played with the snow. Once in Torino, we hadn't enough money to buy a big Christmas tree, so we bought a little one and we decorated only half of it because we couldn't afford to buy many decorations. At school, I felt immediately at ease here in Torino and I had lots of friends. When I attended the first 2 years of primary school, I always got best in Italian. My only difficulties are the double consonants. I cannot understand which words have the double letters and which not. We Romanians are very clever. Think that a Romanian boy entered the NASA system. Not all. Sometimes Romanian teenagers are lazy. They don't apply themselves, they don't study, and lie in bed waiting for money to fall on their heads. For me, Romania is not made by those people, but from kids who learn and are well-educated, who don't permit to be fooled by anyone when they go abroad, but can get respect from the others. Romanians think that all the Italians have prejudices towards them, but it isn't true. Even if we have to admit that here in Italy, many Italians take advantage of them, let them work illegally, don't pay them, thinking they cannot react, but it is not true. We also go to the judge. We were not born yesterday morning. We have a saying which I consider true. Don't judge the book from the cover. That means don't judge people before knowing them. When I'm grown up, I want to be a computer programmer and work for an American company from home, maybe. Italian could be useful one day. Who knows? Maybe I will not succeed in working in America and I will look for a job in Italy.
The next speech is from Marina, the Russian mediator, the one who helped us quite a lot with Mohammed.
My name is Marina and I'm Russian. I'm a volunteer mediator and I work at the Hospital Regina Margherita twice a week, but I'm on call 24 hours a day. In my job, cooperation with medical staff, with social assistants and psychologists is very important. Many young patients come from the Ukraine and Kyrgyzstan. After the collapse of Soviet Union, 15 independent states were created. People who are more than 50 can still understand Russian, but young people don't talk it anymore. I can say that patients from Ukraine mainly don't have adaptation problems. They are European, speak Russian, and often other languages, and they don't have any problems with Italian food. Kyrgyz are in great difficulty. They suffer from a cultural gap. Usually they come from the countryside. Kyrgyzstan is a wonderful country of just 6 million inhabitants on a territory as half as big as of Italy. The landscape is very green, dominated by high mountains and rich of water. But Kyrgyzstan is also a poor country without resources and essential services. Unfortunately, oncological pathologies are widespread because the whole territory is polluted by radioactive waste. Also, rivers are radioactive, and the country is too poor to take measures to decontaminate the land. Kyrgyz have Asiatic features, and their language has nothing in common with Russian. As I was saying, usually parents speak Russian, but the communication with the young patients is very complicated. You have to imagine the game of the broken telephone, as we call it. The kid speaks in Kyrgyz with the parent. The parent translates into Russian for me, and I refer to the doctor in Italian. The answer will then be translated from Italian into Russian and from Russian into Kyrgyz. As you understand, the lack of a clear and direct communication causes many misunderstandings. Besides the language problems, there is also a cultural shock. Kyrgyz are Muslim and they cannot eat pork meat. They are very suspicious towards every kind of food because they cannot understand if in the pasta sauce, for example, there are some ingredients they are forbidden to eat. They are used to eat mutton, fat and fried food with a lot of onion, and they feel disgusted from the food served in the hospital, from your vegetables like spinach and fennels. When they see smashed potatoes and broth, they are horrified. Food is really a big problem for them.
Thank you, Amy. And she's Claudia. She's already 20. She came to Italy 2 years ago for leukemia. And, well, she was already graduated, so she really didn't need to attend school, but we offered her Italian lessons, always with the aim of mental recovery, as her mental capabilities were damaged by the illness.
Hi, my name is Claudia, and I'm 20. I came to Italy from Albania when I was 17 because of my illness. I've learnt Italian with the hospital's teachers. I'm improving, but I would like to speak better with doctors and be able to understand everything. I would like to become a psychologist. The knowledge of Italian will be useful because here there's more need of psychologists than in Albania. In my country, to go to a psychologist is something taboo because it is connected with mental disease. In Italy, it is not like that. I would like to study here in Italy, but I should learn Italian well. The most difficult things are verbs. I know the single words, but building the sentences is very complicated. Hospital teachers help me a lot. I think I'm improving.
The last interview, just short passages, of our psycho-oncologist, Tiziana.
I've been working at the Regina Margherita Children's Hospital for 8 years. We're a team of 8 psychologists and work with children aged 0 to 18 and their families. We see around 20 foreign families a year, mainly from Venezuela and Eastern European countries. As you would expect, cooperation with cultural mediators is very important in our job, even if it is difficult to run a psychotherapy session mediated by someone else. Usually it is more difficult for the mothers because they are alone here, and the rest of the family, maybe other children, stay back home. It is very hard. I once met a mother who had to leave a 40-day-old child in Venezuela to come to Italy with another child. She only saw her daughter again when she was 12 to 13 months. For mothers who come from Eastern European countries, it is even more difficult. In some cases, they have prejudices towards psychologists, like in Romania and Albania, and confuse psychologists with psychiatrists. Sometimes we see a different cultural attitude to the illness. In some African countries, you have to hide that your child is sick because diseases are connected with sorcery. In other cases, we try to help the parents to behave more emotionally with their sick children, to touch, to hug and kiss them. Children, especially if sick, need to feel the love of their mothers in a physical way. But in some Eastern countries, the parent-child relationship tends to be cold.
Thank you very much to our English colleagues. We have some time to show you our activities. You will not find them particularly original, but they are done from our students for other foreign patients. For example, Claudia, she's preparing a game, kind of a goose game, where you need to use Italian words, build sentences, and we find something very touching, that she's worrying about other young patients who, like her, cannot speak Italian. This is a booklet created by our colleague of English, Sabrina Civiero. It's an open source, free open source. You can download from lulu.com. And it's written in many languages. And it shows many situations you can find in a hospital. So how to tell a doctor that a part of your body hurts, or how to choose a food from the list you're given every day. Every time a new pupil comes from a new country, he's involved to translate the booklet. So the booklet is now in, I think, 7-8 languages, so Albanian, Romanian, Arab, Chinese, and so on. And the last thing is a radio workshop in the neuropsychiatric ward. This year we are running this workshop with the help of an educator and of a doctor, and we are preparing a radio broadcast which will be on air middle of June. And it is about, well, originally it had to be about refugees, but then pupils changed their mind. They are all Italians and preferred to work on the foreign pupils in the hospital. So they went around interviewing people. You will see a picture of the mediator, Russian mediator Marina, being interviewed by our pupils, or another pupil who is searching on the internet news about the international charity Lifeline, which brings to Italy patients from Kyrgyzstan and from Ukraine, or our educator who is registering the voice of one of our pupils. So they are interviewing, they are also writing articles. They are expressing in those articles their fears, and they especially they learn to get in some step in some someone else's shoes, and to understand that foreign pupils share the same fears, but they are even more traumatized because they are abroad alone and they don't know the language. So that's it. Of course, we have a lot of open questions because we started teaching foreign pupils only 2 years ago. Simona is the teacher who is taking in charge the teaching of Italian L2 by attending updating professional courses. Of course, we realize that we need a better cooperation among professionals. We realize that there is a lack of feedback. We don't know anything when those pupils are off therapy or when they go back to their country. We have difficulties in contacting the home schools, even with the help of the mediators who translate the documents. Those contacts are very, very difficult. And also there's the problem, biggest problem, the recognition of our attending certificate from the home school. That's it.
So, yeah.
Sie hörten einen Podcast der Pädagogischen Hochschule Wien.